It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown creature.
Unknown Preacher LA podcast, and we have our guest Lala. Is it Jackson?
Yes, it's Jackson. Lanya Jackson, but I'm not Jackson. Lala.
And we just wanted to hear a little bit more about the situation that's going on with the power in Northwest Indiana right now. But maybe before we get into that, do you just want to introduce yourself and tell the listeners a little bit more about who you are?
Yes, my name is Lananya Sunbright Jackson. Basically, right now, I've been in Gary for almost 20 years. I have grown to love Gary. Actually, I don't know. Some people thought I was crazy for coming to Gary. They thought, okay, you're going to die. But
oh,
I
know
that when I first came to Gary, I saw potential. I saw peace. I saw prosperity, even though a lot of people didn't see it. So I'm just here basically just trying to, you know, bring a positive light to Gary. Even though I am a Chicago, Illinois native, but I have grown in love Gary, Indiana, for who they are, what they are, and the people that have, you know, been born and raised here and still live here are genuine people. So
you're kind of like me. I'm from Chicago. I lived in Gary for some time, but then I left after high school. So, you know, I'm elsewhere now. But so thanks for sharing that story. Can you tell us a little bit about what's been going on with the power?
Okay, so basically it started on Tuesday, August 11, 2026. There was this storm that happened. I just thought it was going to be a regular thunderstorm. Usually, sometimes if the wind's a little bit, you know, strong, we would probably get power out sporadically in sporadic places. But this time it was different. So I remember because my teenagers did not start school yet, and they were upstairs. I was downstairs, and I'm just doing my schoolwork, and I'm just chilling, and then I hear one of my children say, hey, it's green outside, and I'm like, that doesn't sound good, the sky changed colors, what's going on, and then I get the alert on my phone saying, hey, the winds are 90 miles per hour, get to a safe place, get to a basement, stay away from the windows, and so I text my other daughter on her phone, like, hey, I may want to get down here and get away from the windows, and she's like, whoa. So I hear her calling the rest of the crew, and everybody came downstairs. We thinking, oh, the power, you know, the lights twitched a little bit. You know, they flickering. And I'm like, okay. And then they go out. I'm like, oh, okay. The power should be back on soon, 2 days at the most, but that's because that's what we're used to. And right. 2 days passed, and we on day three. We're like, okay, this is interesting. And then people began to realize, oh, it's 90%. Now, mind you, okay, I can tell you about the power, but also there was damages to the phone towers. I have T-Mobile. So anyone with T-Mobile was having trouble with their phone service. Also, if someone did have power, which was only 10%, okay, of people, if they had cable, they probably had issues with that as well, with their internet and their Wi-Fi, things of that nature. So for 5 days, I was shut off. My family were shut off from the world. We didn't have any idea what was going on. We couldn't even get on Facebook to see what was going on. We couldn't really get any phone calls. We couldn't talk to anyone. Every time I tried to make a phone call, they were cut off. Somebody tried to call me, it wouldn't come through. If they sent the text, it came through 5 days later. I couldn't sit a thing down at all.
That's the worst time to be without your phone and disconnected is when you're in the middle of an emergency and people are wondering if you're okay properly.
Yes, and what's worse is, oh, thank God I had gas in my car. So I'm trying to understand what was going on. I get outside, and guess what? There's no gas. You know, because dust, no power, a lot of gas stations couldn't function. And the gas stations that did have power, everybody was taking the gas. I'm like, okay, maybe they're getting gas for that generator, too. I don't know what was happening. Then it became a thing where people were charging others, like, okay, I'll just go get you some gas if you can't get around in your car, because some people were stuck and they were trying to get out. So gas became like a rare substance, like, you have to pay extra to get it, you know. It was weird. It was like, I trade you this to get this, you know. It was really, it felt like a time of, if you know, if you're biblical, almost like a glimpse of the apocalypse, maybe. You know what you read in the Bible. It's like, what would really happen when Jesus comes back and people don't know what's going on and a third of the earth is dark and, you know, the third of the sun is gone and, you know, the third of the water is not drinkable. You know, it's a lie. It was, to me, this whole experience was spiritual. A lot of people were afraid. A lot of people were functioning in fear. The fear was so great, they became angry. People were fighting, pulling guns on each other for gas.
Oh, wow.
Like, for real, for real. And so the thing is that personally for me, because I can't speak for everybody else, but I know personally for me and some people that I do know, we all gained our power 13 days later.
Yeah.
So it's like, go ahead.
I was going to say, were they giving you any estimates during this time of how long they thought it was going to take to get it back?
Yes. Okay, the first estimate was, okay, you guys, you know, we should have at least about 40 to 60 people connected by, let me look at my calendar real, I want to have the accurate dates. They said
60 people is really not a lot of people, though.
Yeah, exactly. So we had 90% of residents in Northwest Indiana was without power. I know for sure over 33,000 alone of those residents was Gary. We were the top. That was, and so a lot of people say, why Gary? Why they getting all the resources? Because we had over 33,000 residents without power. Mm-hmm. That was more than any other city or county. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's why it was a big deal. That's one. And so we were told, by Tuesday, August 18th, we should have power. We did not. I think maybe they was working in Portage. I know they were working in Maryville, but Gary had the most damage, okay? Mm-hmm. So then we were told on the 21st of August, we should have power. That didn't happen. So my family and I regained power on the 23rd, which was a Sunday of August. Mm-hmm. So 13 days for
us.
And yeah, and as of right now, to be truthful, there's still people in the Glen Park area in Gary that still do not have power.
Yeah, one of Brad's mom lives over there, and I think she doesn't have any.
Yes, the power was, I mean, the damage was so severe, like, it's just not a quick work over there. And it's really sad, because I know for a fact 13 days without power actually did a number on my mental, on my psyche. Like, I'm only reason why I'm sitting in my room right now with the light on is because I'm talking to you. Mm-hmm. I would have came in my room, have the light off, that's what I was used to, and I have a lantern right now sitting on my right hand side. I sometimes forget that the power is on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, it feels strange having the light on at this time right now. And I'm not the only one going through this. Like, I think we need therapy.
You know, look, people could benefit from some therapy 365, you know, or 365, I should say. But so my friend who connected us was telling me that you've been helping out the community, helping out the elderly people. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've been doing during this time?
Yes. Okay. So basically, I had a person, she's a Gary native, she's an artist, and she was out of town, and she just put out an SOS on Facebook for someone go check on my grandmother. And a lot of people answered the call, but I messaged her personally and said, hey, if you need my help, I got you. I know you probably have other people, but just let me know if they're not available, I'm available.
And one thing about me is that I was raised to respect my elders, so I didn't care about helping anyone personally, but it was just, it's something special in my heart about my senior citizens. And so one day she reached out to me, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. And it's funny, it's like right after my power came on, she was like, hey, can you help me out with my grandmother? I'm like, of course, because people help me. And so I wanted to give back. And so I went and did some things for her. Well, first she wanted to know if she was okay, because her phone, of course, she didn't have power until I think the night before I went to visit her. She was like, oh, our power just came on last night. And so I was like, oh, okay, good. I'm saying, I need you to plug your phone up and talk to your granddaughter. She's worried about you. She's like, mm-hmm. I'm fine. I think she's like, the lady probably like 80-something, but she was just like so youthful and so beautiful. But I made sure that I sent them some breakfast. I sent them water. You know, I just sent things to them. And then the grandmother, I asked her if she wanted anything else. She just wanted some Smucker's peanut butter, some cough drops, and some crazy glue. Why she wants the crazy glue, I don't know. I didn't ask.
Very low maintenance, though. Very low maintenance.
I made sure she got what she wanted, you know. And so then her granddaughter, you know, said, I'll pay you back. And I was like, at first, I was like, I don't want it. But then I was like, wait a minute, I can help somebody else. And that's how it all started. I made a flyer using ChatGPT, and I put it out there like, hey, we still have elders that are homebound and may be in the dark, because Glen Park, very much, I think, part of Gary, some houses that still do not have power, especially in my area, they had just got their power back probably 2 days after my power was restored. So I'm helping people around in my own community. Didn't even know that they lived around here. I've met some people that I didn't even know some of my church members live around here. I was like, wait a minute, I didn't know you lived here. And so, but I was able to help. Some church members actually donated to me. They were like, we heard you doing a thing. Let us help. And so that's how it all started. It started with one elder, and it went to, okay, I got this money. That's a donation. Let me help somebody else. I went to buy cleaning products, because I knew once the lights came on, you know what we're going to do. We're going to clean up. Because you're going to see things that you couldn't really see in just the regular light, you know, the regular sunlight. And so it was like, oh, okay, I know when my light turned on, I was like, oh, my God, it's disgusting in here. You know, it was time to clean up. So I decided to get some cleaning products. I deliver hot meals. And then along with a sister in Christ, which I call her my sister, Kimberly Davis, she's on Facebook as well. Her organization is called Crown for Success. LLC, and she's helping me as well. So she contacted me, another vendor, a food truck vendor named Rockin' Robin, donated food. I delivered those, you know, things. I just see elders. I'm like, hey, you need help? I'm seeing elders taking care of their grandbabies. And I'm like, you don't have to cook tonight. Here's some food. And people just keep donating. I'm like, yes, literally, I just looked at my phone and I received a notification that someone donated $50. I'm like, oh my God, y'all not going to let me stop.
It sounds like the community is really stepping in when the, you know, business or corporation who people are expecting to be, you know, handling things in a timely fashion really drops the ball. But do you know why it's taken so long to get to the recovery? Have they said, you know, is there something wrong with their systems, or they don't have enough people, or why is the recovery taking so long?
I'm just going to come from my opinion. I'm not going to say it's 100% accurate, but from what I heard, even before I moved here, the maintenance of the electricity poles have not been updated or upgraded. And then also, I believe it has something to do with not keeping the maintenance of the trees and everything. The trees are overtaking the power line. So mm-hmm. when those strong winds came along, the first thing that happened, these trees were uprooted by that wind. Mm-hmm. If you drive around Gary right now, you will see trees are up from the roots.
not the roots, the roots. Like, they took a sidewalk. The sidewalk went with the tree. Like, I've never seen nothing like that in real life. And so then you had these trees not only knocking out the power lines and the poles, because I believe in Glen Park area, it's like six poles that just leaning over looking like they worshiping the Lord. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I never seen anything like this. This is so dangerous. Not only that, we had trees fall into residents' houses, crushing residents' cars. Like, the damage. And then on top of that, we had this storm. We had the strong winds, the tornadoes. And then it kept raining, like, 4 days after. Just rain after rain after rain. So now you've got continued damage in the homes. And so I believe what's taking so long is that because now NIPSCO has to be exposed for not upgrading whatever the grid boxes are, whatever they had to do, like, that was outdated.
Mm-hmm.
That was, so now all of a sudden you have to buy new, you have to order new boxes and, you know, and just rebuild the grid. Yeah, you, this is things that should have been updated on a regular, but you did not do this for 30 years, NIPSCO? Really?
Yeah.
So now... And then, oh, and then guess what else we learned about wonderful NIPSCO?
Uh-oh. What did we learn?
The day of the storm, they put in a petition to up the prices again. But they didn't know it was going to storm like this. But then, two times after August 11, 2026, which was on a Tuesday, they put in another petition.
Wow.
Oh, so just forget that the damage was done because of your lack of care, and you're still trying to up prices.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. Oh, because now you're losing money because you have to call in outside electric companies to help. They called in Midwestern Electric. They called in Premier Electric. They called in Kent Power. And that's who I see actually doing the work. I don't know what NIPSCO doing the work at. I've been seeing those electric companies because I don't believe NIPSCO has the manpower to handle things such as this. And so now it's showing their lack, and it's showing where they didn't care, and it's showing what they're really doing with the money, which I feel like is pocketing it. That's what's taking so long. They've been exposed. Now you got to do all this work that you should have did over the past 30 years.
Well, let's just hope and pray that because of all this exposure that's happening on the news and everybody's talking about this, that maybe they'll have some accountability and make some changes in their system. But you mentioned people donating and helping support the cause. Is there any avenue, or how can people donate and help the work that you're doing, or any other organizations that you might know who are trying to help people, you know, kind of with the recovery and everything right now, if you don't mind sharing?
Well, I don't mind sharing. Right now, I'm just using Cash App because I feel like it's just easier to do. So my cash tag is $BossQueenLala, BossQueenLala. And I use that particular account just for what I'm doing now. I don't even use Cash App for real. So I'm using it for that only. And I do share on my personal page, but it's actually in professional mode. When I make purchases, how much I spend, I share how much I receive for the day, because I want to make sure that everyone knows that, you know, just holding myself accountable and to ensure that everyone understands that this money is being used for the purpose that it was intended. As far as my sister Kimberly Davis, she has her own thing. She's partnering with me. So if you go to her her Facebook, which is in professional mode as well, Kimberly Davis, or go to her professional page, Crown for Success LLC, you can reach out to her as well. So it's like she get information, she'll share it to me if she can't, you know, do anything about it, or we just spread the word. And that's how we've been getting donations. Also, I would like to share that, thank God, the word is getting around, because the
a member of the Urban League reached out to me this morning saying they want to help send them a list of the elders I've been helping. I'm like, oh my God, that is great. And then my sister told me that someone else wants to help, and I have to send the list to her as well. So I'm like, this is great. So they want to send hot meals. I think we have Jay's Breakfast getting on board. I don't know if you've been to Jay's Breakfast Club, but the food is divine. Located in Gary on 27 Broadway. I'm going to give her a shout out. We have
Maybe next time I'm over there, I'll go check it out.
Yeah, please. Also, we have Pastor Dexter, which is actually Dr. Dexter Harris now. Paige and Charlie's right across the street. That food is delicious. They have collab with Jay's Breakfast. And also, he has his church, Flores Church, and he just bought the City Life Center, and they've been serving food morning, noon, and night to people that come in, and hot meals, so, you know, sandwiches, whatever like that. They've been serving meals to people in need that need the food. So that's been great, too. They actually did a whole food giveaway. So I love that the community is actually coming together. So I understand, you know, little old me helping the elderly, but I just got to shout out that Gary is doing this as one collective, as a community. You know, it's a saying that it takes a village to raise a child, but it takes a community to thrive. And so I'm just excited about this whole ordeal and how Gary is getting a positive light of how we stand. And our hashtag is GI Strong, because we are, like, I can't even believe how the elders of Gary is still standing. Like, these are some strong people.
Yeah.
Because I probably would have shriveled up and died. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not even trying to be funny. I'm like, I just probably would have been afraid. And, you know, some people are in their houses alone. But they're it's still standing.
Yeah.
It has to be God.
Well, we will share that hashtag GI Strong when we post this episode. I want to say thank you so much for coming on the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. I also want to say, on behalf of both me and LA, the gentleman who was at the beginning of the call but not able to, you know, stay on for the interview, I want to say on behalf of both of us, you back?
I've been back, yeah. Thank you.
I was trying to say on behalf of both of us that I would hope we can invite her back another time for another interview.
Absolutely, absolutely. We really appreciate you.
I hope so. When you come back?
I've been back, man. I've been just eavesdropping, but no, I really appreciate that. And like Lala said, Gary Strong is just commendable what y'all are doing, and we would love to have you back and really talk about the community service piece of this too, because that's super
important. Thank you, I appreciate that.
And Tatiana, thank you so much for the connection too, T.
Yeah, well, we really got to thank my friend Reedy, because she said, I know exactly who you need to talk to if you want to talk to somebody in Gary, and she referred her. So we got to thank her and shout her out too.
Okay. Reedy, thank you. Thank you. I'm handing it back to you, T. I'm a spectator now.
Okay. Well, no, that was really it. I just wanted to say thank you for coming on. Hopefully we'll have you back on the show. I'm going to send you the link to the episode once it's published. And, we'll share the hashtag and hopefully get some nice exposure. We just appreciate you sharing your time, especially, you know, in an evening like this. So thank you for everything else you got going on.
Thank you. Yes, please. I just would love to continue to spread the word. GI Strong. We just standing. We're standing. And people, and I mean, just to add, I know you're about to let go, but just to add, there's so many people surrounding Gary saying, why Gary? Why they're getting a resource? Because we've been overlooked. We've been misused. We've been mishandled. We've been on the back burner. We've been a black sheep. And now it's our turn. And it's and because we actually stood up, we refused to be quiet this time. We have watched other cities and counties get what they needed, and we said, that's it. It's our turn. And that's what happened. And we have a strong mayor, Mayor Eddie Milton, that did not sit down, that did not sit back, that did not sink into the background and said, I'm speaking up on behalf of my city. So this is why Gary is getting the exposure and the attention that it needs. So, and that's why I say we are hashtag GI Strong, because we have a strong leadership this time around. We voted the right person in.
So amen.
Mayor Eddie,
melting. I'm like, don't mess with Big E. He is not playing with us. He's not playing with us.
Okay, Big E. Okay.
Big E. I call him Big E. I called him that in his face. He was cracking up laughing. Because I'm like, no, he do not play about Gary. And that's why I call him Big E. People try to say negative things. He would tell them, oh, no, no, you're not going to do that. Not in my presence. And he'll set it straight. And so that's why I call him Big E. Yes, but
okay, that's all. I'm not
saying
anymore.
Okay. Well, thank you again, and you have a good night. Like I said, I'll send it to you when we post it, which I think should be this weekend.
All right, have a good night.
All right, you too. God bless you.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown, unknown preacher.